Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
How's it going, everybody? I hope that today you are well, that you are encouraged, that you're growing and going forward with Jesus Christ. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Every Nation NYC. I've got a word for you today. Believe that it's going to bring life. It's going to bring growth. It's going to set you free in some ways that you have never been set free before. Today, we're going to walk with Jesus Christ and be transformed more and more and more into His image as I bring you the next piece of our sermon series called Living It. Living It. So walk through the book of Acts. And our goal is to not just be hearers of this word, but to be doers. And so every week there's a message coming from the book of Acts where more and more we are being transformed and we each take our next step into what God is calling us to. So get ready to respond. This is a message about life. This is a message about lifestyle. This is a message that if we do it right, something of us is going to get left behind. Let's dive in to Acts chapter 16. And actually, before I do, we need to set up some context. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Shino delivered a message about the church in Antioch praying, a multi-ethnic, beautiful, vibrant church praying. And there were a group of men praying, and the Lord spoke to Paul and Barnabas. He said, "Set apart for me Saul and Barnabas. They're going to go on a missionary journey." They go on a journey. They see people come to know Jesus, people from Jewish backgrounds and people from Gentile backgrounds, just non-Jewish people come to the faith. Now, while they're on this journey, there's a group of Jewish people that say these Gentiles must become Jewish in order for them to be followers of Jesus, meaning that these new Gentile converts are going to need to be circumcised. In Acts chapter 15, there's a council of elders and apostles. They meet together and argue it out through the course of the chapter. There's a lot of disagreement, but everyone comes into a unified, unanimous agreement. No, this is not the case. Circumcision is not required for Gentiles to come into the faith. All that's required is they don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, you don't drink blood, and you abstain from sexual immorality. This is what is carried over from the Jewish law to modern day Gentile believers, which is most of us, though we honor our Jewish roots and those Jewish brothers and sisters who are now also with us, believers in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Paul is given this letter to carry back through all of the churches that he had just ministered to, the Gentiles and the Jews that he had just come to know Jesus. Pastor Shino preached about Paul and Barnabas having this split. So Paul and Silas team up to start on this missionary journey back through all these churches, delivering the good news and this letter. Gentiles, you don't need to get circumcised. Here we go, Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. That's the context. Here we go. Let's dive in. If you've got a Bible, say this often, go get it. Open it. Get your real Bible. This is going to minister to us. This is going to give us context about where we are. It's going to help you find it in the future. Also, people that bring their Bible to church, which even when you're not in church physically, you can be church and be a part of this experience. Get it. Get it. Live it. This is part of it. Get your Bible. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Some bells of irony should be going off in our heads. And they went on their way through the cities and delivered to them the observance of the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. What's that? That's the decision that you don't need to get circumcised. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Let's pray. God, this is a strange, confusing, tough passage, and we feel for Timothy in this moment. God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So circumcision was a custom held by Jewish people, goes all the way back to a covenant God made with Abraham. And circumcision was an identifying mark given to Abraham and his descendants of personal sacrifice. It was an identifying mark that they had personally sacrificed, that they were committed to God, and they were belonging to his covenant people. It was a mark only given to men. It was a cutting off of a very sensitive, intimate area of a man. And now Paul is carrying a letter saying that this is no longer required for Gentile people to come into the Jewish faith. And the first disciple that he meets is poor Timothy. And Timothy is circumcised by Paul. Why? What is going on here? Why would Paul be carrying a letter, preaching in Timothy's hometown, you don't have to do this custom in order to become a Christian, and then immediately do this? I've got three reasons why, and a fourth observance. Three reasons why, a fourth observation. Can you imagine for a moment that it's not recorded here? It's one simple verse, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. That's all that it says. But can you imagine with me some of the unrecorded in this scripture back and forth dialogue of Timothy? It's unrecorded. It's all speculation. I can only imagine some of the protests that Timothy would have had in this moment. But Paul, like, this is personal. But this is part of my ethnic heritage. My dad's Greek. I'm basically Gentile. I'm not a Jew. Can you imagine this? But this is my culture, Paul. But this will be painful, Paul. This is gross and weird and way too intimate. Can we just not? But this is none of their business. And frankly, Paul, this is none of your business either. And then finally, Paul, you don't know how much this is going to hurt. You were just a baby when this happened to you. Can you imagine all of the protest? And I mean, maybe Timothy was a better disciple than me, but I'm just letting you know, this is what at least would come out of me if Paul was trying to convince me of this surgical operation. Why does Paul do this? First reason that I can think of, and that's in this text, is because of maturity. This moment launched Timothy from just being a disciple into his ministry, into his calling. This moment transformed Timothy and made Timothy a multi-perspective, a multifaceted, much broader human. Whereas before, Timothy would only have been able to minister and witness to Gentiles. Now, this brought Timothy into a much broader perspective as a mature believer. He let God, through the hands of Paul, cut on him. This cut was for maturity. God's mission, when he looks at you as a piece of clay, as a human being, as a beautiful life, as a unique child image of God, part of God's mission for your life and part of God's mission for my life is to transform us from where we are into a vision, an image of Christ on earth. That's what it is to be a Christian, is to be a little Christ. He's transforming us moment by moment, day by day. We are being transformed from our dead and dying self into something that looks more and more like Christ. This process of transformation is known as sanctification. You're saved in a moment, but you're transformed. You are sanctified over a lifetime. And one day we'll be glorified again in a moment when we go up to heaven. But in the messy middle, here we are being sanctified. And this process of sanctification just happened very sharply, very poignantly in young Timothy's life. He was going from childhood into adulthood. Now, did he have to do this in order to be a follower of Jesus? No. No, he didn't. But this was not an issue of morality. This was an issue of maturity. Timothy, will your life be about more than your comfort? Timothy, will your life be more about living at your mama's house? Timothy, will you join me on this mission? Will you join me on a mission that's bigger than yourself? Will you get out of yourself? Will you get out of your comfort? Will you get out of your small-mindedness, Timothy, and join the Apostle Paul on his great mission to spread the gospel, yes, among the Gentiles, but also among the Jewish people? It's about maturity. When we choose to follow God into all that he has for us, not just into salvation, not just into a moment of salvation, but into a lifestyle of sanctification, there are things that God is going to put his finger on that are not in Scripture that he's going to say, stop it. He's going to say, that does not belong in or on your life. That relationship that you're in, it's not right for you. Is it an issue of morality? God, I'm doing the right things. I'm not sleeping around. I'm not, you know, sleeping with somebody I shouldn't be. And God calls you to lay it down. God's called me to lay down relationships, romantic relationships, friendship relationships. Was it an issue of morality? No. It's an issue of maturity. Maturity is more costly than morality. Maturity is going to cut you deeper and cost you more than just morality. Morality is the line. When we first become Christians, oftentimes we're asking, where's the line? Where's the line? Let me tell you where the line is. The line is following Christ. The line is turning your back on sin and saying, I am turning my back on the sin. I'm turning my back on the world. And I'm following you, Jesus, anywhere you go. Where you go, I will go. What you say, I will say. Where you lead, I'm going to go. That's the line. The line's not about how close can I get to it. The line is about turning your back on it. And that is a mark of maturity. When we allow the cutting, we move from childhood into adulthood. We move from mama's house into mission. We move from walking alone into moving with a brotherhood. We move from monocultural into multi-ethnic. We move from gospel believing into gospel conforming. And it is time, friends, for us to put on maturity and allow the cutting process of God's hand into our lives. I believe that some of us have been doing a wonderful kind of karate, jujitsu, taekwondo sort of move of getting the hands of God off of our hearts, but it's time to let him in. It's time to let God's power, his presence, and his transformation into your life. And some of us, that means walking in community. That means not doing this Christian thing alone. You are not designed to be alone. Church is never designed to be alone. It's about getting into a community, getting into a connect group, going through our membership class called the Connections Course. It's about being baptized. It's about beginning your transformation journey. You cannot do it alone. Personally, what I watch, what I eat, what I drink, what I wear, who I talk to, and where I go are all cut by Christ. There's no place in my life that is yet to be off limits, and I am still on a deep sanctification, cutting journey. Is this about morality? Not at all. It's about maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul is in a mock argument with somebody, and this person says, all things are profitable to me, Paul retorts, but not all things are helpful. But all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And this should be our response. Yeah, it's not profitable. Anything that's not profitable, get out. Anything that's obsessing or dominating my life, get out. I have been bought with a price. I am Christ and Christ alone, and I will be identified with him at all costs. I've been cut for maturity. The second reason that Paul put this cut on Timothy is that he was cut to follow. If Timothy was going to follow Paul, he was going to have to follow Paul into some places that otherwise Timothy would not be allowed. He had to be cut in order to get into synagogues. He had to be cut in order to minister to Jews. If he was going to be a part of this great apostolic leader's life, if he was going to follow Paul like Paul was following Christ, there had to be a cutting on him. In Scotland, I helped plant a church at 20 years old. I moved into full-time ministry at 23. I was set in as the lead pastor at 26. I then turned over a thriving, successful church at the age of 31. And I moved my wife, my kids, my family at the age of 31 to New York City to join a bigger mission call. I joined underneath my dad, Pastor Ron Lewis, Bishop Pastor Ron, Daddy Lewis, love you. And I joined my life into something bigger than even my, pretty good life work in Edinburgh. Every day I wake up a part of a church that is involved and under a man's ministry. 100,000 house church pastors in China have been trained because of this man. Where thousands are waking up every day with clean drinking water in Pakistan because of the mission and the heart of Ron Lewis. Every day I am a part of this mission sending apostolic world because of that is has planted hundreds of churches around the world because of Ron Lewis. And in order for me to join into this, you better believe that some cutting had to happen. Friends, you don't get to join a mission and a vision bigger than yourself and remain entirely about you. Something has to get cut. If we are going to join in and follow God into a bigger vision, it can't be about us. It can't be about me. It can't be about what I've accomplished in my past. It has to be about something bigger, which means what? Something's going to die. Something is going to get cut off of us. There's no way to walk in and with a bigger vision and it be all about you. I want to speak a little bit about some of my personal ethos as a pastor. We all come from different nations, ethnicities, backgrounds, and each culture carries a little bit of a different understanding around a pastor's authority in a person's life. And I want to let you know that some of my personal conviction, and I believe some of the ethos of ENNYC, is that we pastor more out of permission than out of position, which means the authority that I carry in your life is subject to your permission. Not just that I'm Pastor Nathan, that I've been ordained here at Every Nation NYC, that I'm an elder here. It's out of your permission that I dig into people's lives. Sometimes people see me as the sex police, that it's my job to police your sexual activity. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. That it's my job to catch people in the act or catch people off guard or call out the sin or whatever the case might be. That's not my job. I will dig in. If there's something, a part of your life that you would like to work on, that I am there for. But I enter into people's lives by permission, not position. And I find that there is an authority and a grace to minister in people's lives when there's permission. And I just like that a lot better than forcing my way in or muscling my way in. There's a grace to minister. There's a willingness. And there's a power from God that I experience in pastoral ministry when there is permission, not just position. So that's a little bit of my ethos around what you can expect from me. I enjoy being invited in and not expected in, especially as some sort of like domineering police officer sort of figure. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel of grace. And I love seeing the powerful, amazing, miraculous working power of God enter into people's lives. And I love believing with you and standing with you. And this reminds me, I love praying and standing with those that are praying by texting in your prayer request to our number. You can do that just now if you'd like as well. Third reason Paul cut on Timothy. Timothy was cut for mission. Timothy was cut for mission. In order to reach Jewish people, Timothy had to become Jewish. Paul also did this to avoid unnecessary arguments. How wild is that? In order to avoid an argument, as Timothy's coming in to Jewish communities, Paul didn't want to have to be talking about Timothy's lack of circumcision. Paul did not want to have to jump three steps ahead to explain the grace of God and how Timothy's been grafted in and demonstrate all of this. He just wanted to be able to come in and preach the gospel. Jesus, this Jewish carpenter, died on the cross, risen again as a Messiah, was controversial enough. He didn't need to be talking about a peripheral issue, his disciple, and the state of his circumcision. He didn't want to be talking about peripheral issues. He wanted to keep the main thing, the main thing. And I've got to admire the maturity and the heart on Timothy. When we look at our culture today, the way that we become a mature, actualized person in 2021, the process is generally about how we can undergo a process of self-discovery. We look inside of ourselves. We say, who are you, Nathan? What are you made of? What do you want to do? What do you like having around you? And we go on and we consult our desires. And then we ensure that we express those desires outwardly. And we say, we are our desires. I identify as my outward expression of my desires. And I'm going to live in our personal truth. And this is how we in the 2021 go from childhood into maturity, which really is just a greater process of making bigger adult children. Have you experienced some of those in your life? Might you be one of those? It's for us to discover. That is how we in our 2021 go from child into adult. It's this process of self-actualization. And if somebody doesn't like who you are, then what do? We cancel them. We cut them off. But look at how different the mission of Christ is. When Timothy is gripped by the mission of Christ, that there are people out there that need to hear the gospel that don't like the way you physically are, Timothy says, put me under the knife. I will be cut off so that they might be brought in. I will slay part of my being so that they might come alive. I will consider myself less so that the power of Christ might be expressed through me to somebody that doesn't even like me right now. That is the position that Timothy takes for the gospel. And friends, if we are going to engage with the mission of Christ, he has a big, beautiful city out there for us to reach. Will we die to ourselves and go reach them? Do they like you? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Frankly, a lot of them don't like Jesus. He died for them anyways. Frankly, a lot of us didn't like Jesus, and he died for us anyways. Will we get a hold of the gospel of Jesus and his mission to go and reach the world? There's a big, hurting New York City out there that may or may not like us, and frankly, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves them, and he's put his love in our hearts for them. Will we join? Will we allow part of ourself to die so that we could be on mission with Jesus? Every morning I wake up when I was taking my kids to school, and I'm not the happiest person in the morning, but I try to get my soul happy in Jesus, alive, awake, alert, looking at the eyes of the parents that are dropping off, saying their names, saying good morning, so that they know that I'm an open, genuine, loving human. And I'm not self-focused. It's about dying to myself in the morning so that I can be alive for the parents at drop off by 8:30 a.m. That's a very small and simple thing by comparison to Timothy's dying to self. But it's something that I try to do every day. Will you die to yourself, your convenience, your comfort, your rush through the city, and look out for somebody? The other day, I was talking to Sister M, one of the evangelists in our community, and she said, Nathan, I was on a long subway journey to get here into 414, and I was praying, God, would you let me sit next to somebody that I can share the gospel with? And sure enough, I did. Sister M, we honor you. Thank you for going out of your way to look for people, for dying to yourself. I love sitting alone on a subway with my earpods in, listening to nothing but what I want to listen to. But will we die to ourselves, die to our convenience, die to our comfort, and join Christ on his mission in which he died for you? Can we do it together? This is the community to do it in. A community, people that don't deserve it, but have received the grace of Jesus and want to share it. That's who we are. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And friends, this is what happens when we die to ourselves. Christ lives in us. If we can only die to ourselves, if we can only allow the cut of Christ on us, we can die to ourselves and allow the power of Christ, the miraculous working power of God, to flow through us. This is what we get to do. I was talking to a man in my Connect group the other day, and he said, Nathan, I love politics. And he has some strong political persuasions, but he said, I will never post them online because I never want anybody to view me as a political diehard as opposed to somebody who just loves Jesus. Friends, will we do it day by day? Yes, that's part of his identity. Yes, he's cut it off. Will we allow parts of our identity be cut off so that Christ might be glorified through us? It's a death, it's a dying, it's a cutting. But I believe that the power of God, the mission of God, the blessing of God is greater than anything else that we could lay down. Finally, an observation. Christ was cut. Christ was cut. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul's writing about circumcision again. And he says this, in him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. So he's clearly not talking about a physical circumcision, but some sort of supernatural cutting off of lifestyle, cutting off of a way of thinking, a way of being, and receiving by the circumcision of Christ. What's the circumcision of Christ? Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day in the temple. That was the circumcision of Abraham, bringing him into the Jewish covenant. But at the age of 30, Jesus experienced another cutting off. And this time it was a cutting off from his friends, a cutting off from his family, a cutting off from his Jewish identity as he experienced Roman execution exacted by Jewish authorities. Can you imagine for a moment the complaints that Jesus never complained? But this is personal. But this is my ethnic heritage, and I'm dying by Roman execution, Father God. But I've left the culture of heaven where I've been worshiped day and night by angelic beings, and now I'm being slaughtered by these, you know, mud creatures, creatures that I made out of mud. Father, but this will be painful. But you'll never know how painful it will be. This is gross and weird and way too intimate. Jesus had seen Roman executions of men being hung on crosses, nailed to wooden piles, stripped naked, often their genitals nailed to the same wooden post, their bowels let go in public, and they were mocked for their own weakness. Jesus had seen this happen, and now he was going to be subjected to this by the mud creatures that he'd made millions of years earlier. What gives, Father God? But rather than rising up in personal protest, Jesus submitted so that you and I could be brought in. The circumcision of Christ was that he personally was cut off so that we could be brought in. So that we could be brought in. When we get a hold of the gospel, that we were saved by this grace, we were saved by this love that saw us on the other side of the cross, saw his reward, saw his prize of your life and my life together, worshiping him on the other side of the cross. When we get a hold of his love, we can't follow that Savior and not be transformed. We can't follow that Savior and not have a cut on us so that we can follow. We can't follow that Savior and not have a cut on us so that we grow into maturity. We cannot follow Jesus and not get cut for mission. Friends, any cutting, any stripping away that Jesus wants to do in your life, know this, he's done far more in his own life. It's far more personal, it's far more painful, and people far more despise him for it. We can trust him. trust him with your life. I believe that during this message, God has been putting his finger on some areas in your life that he's saying, enough is enough. It's time to cut it off. Don't harden your heart. Let him in. Let it go. If there's an addiction, if there's a perversion, if there's a relationship, something that does not fit the call of Christ toward being more like him right now, we're going to offer it up to him as a sacrifice, a cut on our life. It sacrifices our personal preferences for his mission and his call. Jesus, we lift these up to you right now. Just picture that thing in your hand right now. God, we offer this up. We don't want a costless Christianity. We don't want a costless gospel. We don't want cheap grace. God, we offer up these things that you are putting on our heart right now. God, we lift them up to you. God, I pray that lifestyles would change right now in Jesus' name. I pray that callings, life callings right now would change in Jesus' name. Direction in life. Lord, I pray that addictions would end in Jesus' name. We offer these things up to you. God, cut them off. Cut them out of our life. It's going to hurt. We're going to have to fight like crazy. But we do it, Jesus, for you. God, we also commit to doing what is necessary, doing the work behind these offerings. God, we understand that these are not cheap, that we're not looking for you to just do some sort of magic miracle and make our desires change and make us change from the inside out. No, we offer these things up to you as sacrifice. We know they're costly. We know they're weighty. God, help us as we choose to follow you in the way that you're calling us to right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you need to follow Jesus in a deeper way, text us. Text Jesus to the number. We look forward to speaking with you. Again, we don't pastor here out of position. Pastor, and we care for people out of permission, but we would love to walk with you, pray with you, work with you, whatever your next step is. We are disciples of Jesus, all being worked on by him, and we love doing it in this Every Nation community. I look forward to seeing you soon. We're meeting together here in 414 every Sunday until mid-August when I believe we're going to be moving back into PS452. I look forward to worshiping with you together very soon. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.